Hi, I'm Jeremy Wagner, General Manager of the new Lloydminster Nissan.
You're probably wondering, and some have asked, why is it still the new Lloydminster Nissan? Quite simply, we're excited to bring things forward that we consider new to a car dealership. We're proud to support the community through a one-of-a-kind live broadcast with Kirk Price that focuses on events, people, and issues that concern our community. We're proud to work with other businesses to promote local agriculture, our heavy oil industry, and entrepreneurs. We give back to the community through sponsorships, and our employees are encouraged to and excited to volunteer and help in the community. We're the proud new sponsors of the CPCA's Chuck Wagon Finals and the CPCA Pro Tour. And of course, we're always excited for our lineup of new Nissan vehicles with great new features. And our new-to-you lineup is just as impressive. We're proud to be the new Lloydminster Nissan. We'll keep looking for new ways to help our customers in our community and very soon announce plans for our new location.
At the new Lloydminster Nissan, we won't sell you a car, we'll help you buy one.
Next! Buck, what are you doing?
Giveaway gas for a year!
Buck, that's only for customers that buy new Nissans.
Right now at the new Lloydminster Nissan, get free gas for one full year with the purchase of a new Nissan from the new Lloydminster Nissan. The new Lloydminster Nissan. We won't sell you a car, we'll help you buy one.
How can you help support the oil and gas industry and jobs in Western Canada? The answer is closer than you think. Sell your scrap metals to PWM Steel. PWM sells scrap iron to Evraz, located in Regina. Evraz's number one customer is the energy sector, building pipes and plates for the oil and gas industry. PWM Steel is your locally owned metal recycler and steel service center in the area. Plus, they're a strong supporter of the community. PWM Steel, your top steel supplier for Alberta and Saskatchewan for 40 years.
This is Lloydminster's show. This is local that matters to you. Local people. Local events. Local news and sports. For Lloydminster and area, this is Live with Kurt Price from the new Lloydminster Nissan.
Okay, we are here with Patchwork, and we're excited. We got Tracy Kay here, who is our co-host, of course, with Patchwork. Welcome to Orion Machining, Tracy.
Welcome, Kurt. Glad that you could make it. You were the last guy here today. It's okay. I wiped a little stuff off your face, so it looked like you had dinner today, but that was a couple hours ago. But we are excited. This is kind of going to be kind of, we did do the Oriole show last year, yep. But this is kind of our first on live Patchwork show.
Yeah, we're going to head in here in a few minutes and find out what Orion Machining is all about, specifically what Orion Machining does in the oil field. Right. So that's going to be interesting. A couple of things to tell you about before we get started, though. I want to remind you that Pricey and Bucky's grad giveaway is back this year. Now, I know that you shop at Cliff Rose for clothes.
Oh, all you bet I do. Yep. Best place in town to get your men's clothes.
Absolutely. And a lot of grads go down there and they get dressed up and they look absolutely fantastic for graduations. Well, this is a giveaway that gives grads the chance to save some money on either a new suit or a tuxedo at Cliff Rose for clothes or hair, makeup, that kind of stuff for the ladies. Now, that's not exactly what we know about. So we talk a lot about Cliff Rose for clothes, but Untangled Salon and Sugar Coated Artistry are also, we have 10 $300 gift cards for the ladies and then 10 $300 gift cards for the guys. And all you got to do is enter. And we have so many of those to give
that's
away
so great.
Because we have so many sponsors. We have Crude Master Transport, which is a sponsor. We have Swift Oil Field Supply, which is a sponsor. We have Nissan, of course. We have Three Guys Truck Wash, Truck Zone. This is one of the major reasons
Kurt,
we
do this.
Do
you hear that sound?
I do.
The truck backing up, and it's when guys can bring stuff to delivering to certain shops. They have to have that, and that's an oil field backup bumper. Just so you know, for the people on Patchwork, that's what that is, and it warns you that you're backing up or anybody behind them because it's a safety thing. Continue, Kurt.
So we want you to head down to Cliff Rose for clothes, Sugar Coated Artistry, Untangled Hair Salon, Nissan, Meridian Source, and enter to win one of those 10 $300 gift certificates to, again, Cliff Rose for clothes, which, you know, they're going to dress you up. You're going to look absolutely fantastic when you go to Cliff
Rose
for clothes.
Can we comment about that? Yeah. So Kurt and I do a lot of emceeing around the Lloydminster and surrounding area. We've done all kinds of shows, and we've had the privilege of wearing some of Cliff Rose's clothes and some of their suits to look our best, and they do the best job around for the grads. That's the truth.
And I love it because it doesn't matter what size you are. They've got it.
You honestly look really good when you dress up from Cliff Rose.
Oh, absolutely. Anybody does when they dress up for Cliff Rose for clothes. People always say that to me. You clean up well. Well, actually, it's Dave and his team at Cliff Rose for clothes. And, of course, ladies, you know, for guys, it's pretty easy for you and I to do our hair. Yep. But for the ladies, they want to look special. Yep. Well, they will look special with Untangled Salon and Sugar Coated Artistry. Also want to let you know where I get my water. I get my water at Superior Water because it's Superior Water. Water is all they do. Plus, I love the taste. For $3 a jug, you get a consistent taste. And don't forget, $2 ice, and that goes great in the Crown Royal. And you can stop in at either location. You can stop in at their location beside Sheepskin Loft, which they're open on Sundays there as well. Or you can drop in at their coin-operated location just off Highway 17 beside 7-Eleven. Again, at Superior Water. Water is all they do, and I believe they do it well and superior to anyone else, and you will love the taste. Okay, let's get in from water to oil, Tracy. Okay, here we
water
go.
Water to oil. So
how are things going? How are things going in the oil field?
You know, the prices had gone a little bit down here, and we started bumping below $50 a barrel, but we're back up again. And some really cool announcements of some stuff that's going to be coming up with some different oil companies around the area that we'll be announcing here, hopefully on the next Patchwork Show. But prices are starting to come back up. And it's just a matter of time that people are going to continue to get into this situation that fossil fuels are needed for life. And that's the honest truth. So let's talk about the prices today. West Texas is back up now, just under $73 U.S. We're talking U.S. dollars here, so that's exciting, which is like 5 million Canadian. But $72.82 a barrel U.S. for WTI, West Texas Intermediate. Western Canadian Select is back up under just $52, $51.95 U.S. a barrel. Rig counts, U.S. is up 4 this month. 758 rigs they've got going down in the U.S. I'm not happy about this number. We're down 42 rig count in Canada. We've got to get that stuff going again.
Is that spring breakup, though, Tracy?
No, we're not on spring breakup yet, you know, and I can we can talk about that here. Within the next month, we will be, and some of the rigs, you're right, they're not going to be able to get around. But we're down 42 rigs in Canada right now, down to 165. So I'm not liking that number as much. We got to get that back up over the 200 count, and so we're going to work on that, and we're all going to go, ring those phones. There we go. Internationally, we're up 14 more rigs, so we're at 915 rigs U.S., or pardon me, internationally. So that's a good number that, you know, stuff is still moving. So the U.S. and international are really kicking up really good to let us know that sometimes I don't know if it's because Canadians think that they got to come up behind all of that, but when U.S. rig counts are up and the international rig counts are up, we know that the oil prices are coming back around and stuff is coming up better for us. So that's where that comes in.
How is the oil field? Is it busy right now?
You know what? We even at Titus, I would say that we're doing really well and it's steady. We've got a bunch of international stuff that we're actually working on right now. And then we're going to go into Orion Machining here, and I'm pretty sure they're really busy. Some of the other machine shops that are working in this city and some of the other places are working really busy. And then because manufacturing is something that's kind of the pre-starter to when you're going to get busy. Hey, let's build the machinery, then we'll go out and install it. So as we see that happening here, we might be a little late to the dance for what's coming in the future. But optimism in 2023, going to be a fantastic year yet. Awesome.
Okay, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll introduce you to Sean Davidson when we head into Orion Machining.
It would appear that
the butler did it.
But this isn't a whodunit film.
It's a Nissan sales event. Now that's a killer deal.
Good thing this Rogue has a VC turbo engine, unlike RAV4.
Now get a low $299 per month lease on Rogue.
Catch these offers while you can.
It's more than just taxes at LNA CPA. Assurance, accounting, retirement planning, estate planning.
business consulting, financial consulting, farm program support, and bookkeeping. But yes, there is always taxes. The team at LNACPA is committed to helping you achieve your best results and will be there to assist you every step of the way. LNACPA, with offices in Provost, Vermilion, and Lloydminster.
At Diamond 7 Meats, we work with local farm families to provide a high-quality product and a great selection for you. Try our mouth-watering smokies, pulled pork, roast beef, and more, made pure and natural with no additives or fillers. We offer custom processing, and our experienced team works for you to provide a selection of sausage, burgers, and jerkies made to your specifications. Take your grilling to the next level with a Yoder smoker. Complete the grilling experience with Canadian-made, award-winning line of House of Q barbecue sauces. We're locally owned and operated, and we look forward to seeing you today.
While it is good to look at how much has changed in banking since the first Saskatchewan Credit Union was formed in the 30s, it is just as important to look at what has stayed the same. We are with you through thick and thin,
rooted in tradition and honest values, and driven by innovation to help reach your financial goals.
This commitment to you has defined our entire story, which will never change. That's a promise. Stay tuned. It's only going to get better.
Hey, welcome back. You know, Tracy was telling us that the oil field is going right now. And if you are in the oil field and you are looking for employees, you need to give Bev and her team at Jetstream Personnel Consulting a call, because what they do is they find employees, and they find local employees. There's no headhunting involved, but they have a great big database, and they've worked in the oil field, they've worked in administration. They know the people that you are looking for, and they can help you. Not only can they help you, they do the majority of the work. They even can create the offer letter when you find that perfect candidate. So what you need to do is give Bev and her experienced and local team a call at Jetstream Personnel, and all you got to do is pick up the phone, dial 780-808-5736, or better yet, you can go to jetstreampersonnelconsulting.com. That's jetstreampersonnel.com. And we're going to head in here and meet Sean Davidson and take you through Orion Machining, exactly what they do.
So he's got a nice door, or a nice sign on the door, and then check out the truck here too that he's driving.
This is...
So he's geared up and ready to go with his Orion Machining truck in there. Just take a shot here too, Paul, of the hole down alongside of here. These guys have a big shop here. They got a lot of stuff moving. Good job. You ready, Kurt?
I'm ready. I'm ready, and we're going to head in and meet Sean here.
Sean, you want us, we should put some of these on.
You want us to sign in? Hey, it's Sean.
Hi, Sean.
Okay,
hey,
this is him right here, Sean Tracy. Davidson right here, and we're excited to be here. Thanks for the invitation. Thanks for, sitting at my desk one night, and I get a call. Well, I got an alert on my phone, and you guys are asking about patchwork. I can't tell you how good that made me feel, so we're excited to be here.
Awesome. Really excited to have you guys here. We are proud of the facility that we got going on here and what we do. Love to have you guys come see. Let's go for a tour.
Okay. How long have you been here, Sean? How long have you been in this location?
Well, Orion Machining and Design started, actually April 10th will be our fourth year. So it was an existing company, Orion Machining Manufacturing. Been around for 24 years at that point. I bought them out, and now we're...
Yeah. You're on lapel.
I got my own mic.
Sorry, Kurt.
Now we're coming up to 4 years. Since then, we started with 7 employees. Through COVID, we kind of blew up. We've had really good support from the local community, and we're at 49 now. Yeah, 45,000 square feet of manufacturing facility here.
Nice.
So pretty,
nice.
Yeah, pretty excited, pretty proud of what we got.
Now, do I need safety goggles like Tracy has?
You'll be okay actually with the glasses you got.
The glasses.
Yeah, but if you guys wouldn't mind throwing on a high vis vest as we do a quick
tour. High visibility vest, we can do that.
Yeah, safety first. That way, the guys are aware that you're on the floor, and they'll just
can you hang on to this, Sean?
Should be all safe.
Nobody moves in this building, Sean. Sean said that nobody moves in this building. Nobody moves in this building, and nobody ever gets hurt. Do you guys
even,
have...
Even Paul's got to get vest up. Now, here's a first. We're going to put Paul on camera here.
Yeah, put Paul on camera. And also, do you guys...
That vest is big enough?
Do you guys have a bigger vest for Kurt?
Well, they say this, one size fits all.
Let me look at the back of that. Let me look at the back of that. Triple XL, and it's still tight on them. Wow. Okay. All right, it's all good. Okay. Hey, let's get a look at this here before we start anything. This is something that's important, and that's really cool that you've got this up here. Even at Titus Tools, we have the same thing up there. So our mission, to exceed in industry expectations in the area of innovation, quality, value, and customer service, Orion MDI will always stand behind our work. We never stop learning and will continue to improve ourselves by maintaining the highest level of integrity. Our Orion MDI is committed to the future and strategic growth through the employees and partnership that help make us successful. Orion MDI promotes a healthy work-life balance and strives to promote a positive culture that benefits all. Orion MDI is passionate about integrity and honesty, and also is going to supply Tracy and Kurt with beverages and food while we do this tour.
We always have chocolate almonds on hand.
Nice! There we go. There you go, Kurt. You can take this for a minute.
Our mission, our values, actually, Tracy, I'm really glad you pointed that out. That's something we stand by every single day. We sleep easy at night, and we do business the right way, and it's really helped us grow it to get where we're at right now.
All right.
Let's step in.
So do the guys know we're coming?
Some of them are aware that you're coming. Some will find out when they see you.
Okay.
Yep.
Can I see a light here? So you guys, Patchwork is here, look busy.
Yeah. Yeah. So we, super proud of the guys we got, the equipment that we've got. We've got the largest facility between Saskatoon and Edmonton. You head north, you're not going to find something bigger until you get to the States, until you find something larger. We've got some really awesome equipment, the top of the line guys here. Every single one of our parts is quality inspected. Oh. We do, we have ISO certification, we're CORE certified, we're APSA certified, and we're API compliant. So every single one of our parts runs through a rigorous 100% inspection on every single piece. So not to say that we don't have failures, they happen in-house. Our customers never know they get perfect parts all the time. That's part of what helped us build customer service above profit every single time.
Can I tell you what's going on here?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Without Sean even having to tell me? You see these here? These are WR shear couplings or threaded shears that go on the top of a bridge plug that you set down a well, and as soon as it's shear, you set the bridge plug. Part of this is going to shear off right here, and the rest of the tool will stay down the well where the rest of the wireline company stuff comes back out.
100%.
Woo!
Yep. Fully certified, an Orion product. Those ones are 35,000 shears. They go all the way up to 60,000 shears. Certified, stamped, cradle to grave. Every one of our products, including shears, including the smallest little nut and bolt, will come with a COC as well. So I can tell you what foundry it was made from anywhere in the world, right down to the piece of equipment that our machinists use to measure the tooling.
I see something here already. We've got some contrast from how small you are here to even this size, to come over here, Paul. I mean, we're doing tiny stuff, the giant stuff here. I don't know what these ones are, Sean, but what would this stuff here be then? Can you say?
Yeah, I can't actually say what those ones are.
Okay.
What I can say is they go subsea, though.
Right, yeah.
Right? Can't let you know who it's for.
No,
but,
no, I didn't mean to know who it was for as much as this looks like stuff that's going to be in a higher size of equipment.
Yeah, absolutely. Equipment. Yeah. So these are part of a bearing assembly for a subsea setup. Tolerances within half a thou. So you take your human hair, call that 4 thou, right? Split that 10 times. That would be the tolerance that we deal with on that size of diameter.
Sean, how far out does some of your work get then? You're doing subsea stuff.
Man.
You're doing some international stuff,
too? Yeah, glad you asked. Like, we do work, stays in town. We do work with you, Tracy, right? Stays right here in town. And then we go all the way down to Australia, Oman, Iraq. We're sending product all over the world. We have here a project I can show you that's going to Kuwait.
Yeah, so here we are in Lloydminster thinking, or just this machine shop in Lloydminster, and you guys are doing tons of international work.
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty exciting stuff.
Well, let me ask you this, Sean. What percentage of what you do here is related to the oil field?
100%. Yeah. So no matter how hard I try, oil's all I know. So we always end up back in the same spot. 100% of the work here is oil. It depends where it is, right? If it's in the flow or in the process, the completions, right? All varying stages, but it's all oil field related.
Okay, so you're sending stuff to Kuwait. You're sending stuff all over the world. How do you get that work? People find you online. How do you get that?
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things that we've been really fortunate with is high quality, high integrity. Word gets out. And that's something that I've really found is the world gets bigger. Like our world and our customer base, you really find out that it's actually small. Everybody, you're only like 2 points of contact away in the oil field. Word of mouth on good things spread super quick, just as well as bad, right? So we've been really fortunate. We've had some really good success, good support from local suppliers and customers that have spread the word out to international.
Well, something else to keep in mind, even at Titus, we do stuff that's international. But what happens is I always say this, all paths lead back to Lloydminster somewhere when it comes to heavy or thick oil. So if we're getting that attention, the machine shops in the community are going to get that attention because somewhere down the line, somebody from Lloydminster, and saying this very proudly, they're going to usually figure out something in some other part of the world that other people haven't because of their experience here in heavy oil.
Well, Sean, is a lot of what you do, because whenever we have an oil show, the last time we were on the road, we were at the oil show, and we're always saying, well, innovation starts in Lloydminster. Somebody has an idea for a product going to make their job easier. Is this what they do? They come to you and say, this is what I have in mind, and you guys build. Is that what Orion does as well?
That's a portion of what we do, absolutely, right?
Yeah. Sounds like a small portion.
Yeah, it is a smaller side of it. So if somebody says, hey, I got this really great idea, I'm trying to get it to paper, this is what I'm thinking, help me get that conception to reality, we can absolutely help with that process. But really, our bread and butter is production.
Yeah.
So it's existing work that's already there, that's kind of been honed in, and our customers come to us and go, all right, this is a proven product. We need cost-effective, reliable, high-quality product.
Yeah.
Then that's when we step in.
Let me elaborate on that a little bit. So there's going to be times, and Sean and I have worked on some of that stuff together, where you're trying to create a widget. You've got the widget in mind, you're looking at the patents and all that, you need Sean to build the widget, then you need Sean to help you perfect that widget. Now that widget is perfected, now Sean says, then you go to Sean and say, can you run 500 of these for me? That's where he's going to go to the next level.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're going to take us on a tour, but like this gentleman here.
Yep.
Does he build the same thing every day?
Absolutely not. No, we have a huge variety. So Theo will be on probably his fourth or fifth job already today. Now there's times where he'll be running the same part for a week straight or one and two at a time, right? And then he just moves on. We are real diverse in the product that comes through. So we don't just have five things that we do. We have 10,000 widgets that go through. I mean, man, the amount of product that goes through, we run 24 hours a day. So right away, day shift will roll out, night shift will roll in, and they'll keep going. We have robotics as well, actually. We'll come
Sean,
this way.
And speaking of the robotics and the machinery,
do you
still have some old school machines here? Are you all CNC?
In the back. Nope.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we'll get there.
You know,
we'll
this is the new era of machining now where the guy programs it so the machine does the work, but there's probably still some stuff where you might have to cut and do some stuff in the old schooling way.
So much of it is what you hear too in machining, right?
Yeah.
So you'll see the machinists are always at their machine and they have an ear to it. And the different harmonics will tell them if an insert is going good. And the inserts are the part that actually cut the metal, right? So they're carbide inserts and they will peel the metal off. They're consumables. They wear out.
Yeah.
So you still need skilled guys to be able to program that, to understand what's happening and correct it.
Okay.
So, Sean, let me ask you this before we get into the robotics, and I'm really excited about that. Yeah. I really want to see that. Where did you start? How did you start in the oil field? How did you start in machining?
I started right here. So I I'm from Vancouver Island, Campbell River, originally.
Yep. Good salmon area.
Salmon capital of the world.
That's right, baby. Yeah,
not on my dad's boat.
He's got a couple he's got a couple cans each for us after the...
It's, you know, and I wanted to be in the RCMP. That was always kind of my life goal. So 18 years old, playing hockey, just not really getting anywheres. What's a guy got to do that? Well, you need to start fresh somewhere, right? So I came out to Lloyd, and I started sweeping the floors in the machine shop.
Wow.
Yeah, from there, got my apprenticeship. Life kind of took off. I met my my wife, right? We bought our house, and then 20 years goes by. I'm still at O'Ryan. Bought out the previous owners, and here we go, right? It's kind of upwards from there.
Good story, Sean.
You are the oil field success story.
That's right.
No. The people around me are the oil field success story. I'm just along for the ride. Yeah, it's by committee. Here's our robots right here.
Sean, do you have a name for this robot?
we do.
Let's get this on record. Honestly, I don't know of any machine shop in the world that doesn't have a robot like this that doesn't have a name for him.
Well, Dylan. Hi, is Dylan. Our local robotics guy. He's absolute wizard with these. This is Shaniqua. And this is his love. So. So he's just getting her set up right now, but so unfortunately it's not running. We won't be able to see it. But when they go, man, they're pretty slick. They set up. Dylan will have the robotics running, and then in the meantime, he'll be running the machine behind us here.
Did you hear that? Okay, so it's usually Robert the robot, Rita the robot, Rona the robot, Robert the robot, but Shaniqua.
Who named Shaniqua?
Dylan.
Dylan named Shaniqua. Where did the name Shaniqua come from?
I've been a name that's been floating around in my head for a while, so I thought it's been a good use.
Shaniqua. So she does some Shaniqua work then.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
How long has Dylan been with you?
Dylan has been here for 6 years. Yep. Yeah, so we actually have incredible attrition. When we get somebody and conversely, somebody comes here, they stay. Yeah, we've got myself, I'm over 20 years. Warren's 22 years. We've got another guys that are 14, 15 years. And then we've had some real big growth, though, in the last couple of years. Here's the robot moving, actually. So in the last 4 years, right, we've gone from 7 employees to 49, right?
Okay, this isn't going to be a popular question with anybody, but what did you guys do through COVID? Like you mentioned, he's been here 6 years.
So COVID's a touchy subject with some people, not with us. So we were blessed that through COVID, we actually grew, and we grew exponentially.
How did you grow through COVID?
Hustle. So we were in a unique situation where we had just purchased O'Ryan, lots of debt. I needed to succeed or I would lose everything. Like 20 years ahead, like this was my life's goal. So once COVID hit, we had no choice but to find work. If I wasn't putting work through, I was going to lose it. So we just got out every day and knocked on doors and dug deep, worked long hours. Good people would get let go from shops that were doing layoffs due to COVID. And I would take a gamble and pick them up because I thought, when am I ever going to find these guys again? So we just kept adding headcount. We kept growing. Pretty soon, customers would call around town, around Edmonton, Saskatoon, and they just couldn't get the work done. But I had stockpiled all these guys, and we were just staying one day ahead of having no work. But just picking away at it, right? And eventually, we had a week's backed up, then a month backed up, and then at one point, we had over 5 months of work backed up behind us. So at that point, actually, we decided we need to grow. So we found a shop that was looking to sell down in Brooks. We bought a second facility, had 16 CNCs and 13 employees. And we just about doubled our headcount overnight. And then that helped with our workload substantially. And then the same kind of story happened. All of a sudden, we could keep up, and there was no backlog. Guys need the work done now. Oil field, we need it now. We were able to supply between the two facilities, and it just kept growing.
Awesome. Before we move on, what does Shaniqua do?
So Dylan has the backside loaded up right now. He's going to get things loaded. But she's a parts loader. So the robot will go in. It'll pick from the grid. It'll grab the part. The machine will do the machining. Once it's done, it sends a G-code, it's called, to the robot. The door opens. Pardon me, the door opens. She goes in, places the part in the jaws. The jaws close. It comes out, drops the new part, or pardon me, the finished part back in the grid, grabs another one, it keeps going.
Can I see that for a sec, Kurt? Check this out. This thing is actually a really sick machine. Man, this thing is sick.
Yeah.
Well, now let's ask one other question, because Shaniqua has her own name and very unique name. Yep. How much is Shaniqua worth?
180 American.
So that's 17 million Canadian.
Yeah.
Wow, she's worth a lot. No.
Yeah, but you know what? Investment—you have to invest back into yourself to be able to grow, especially in this tight market. Machining is different than any other market, really, in Lloyd, where if Tracy needs something, he can call Orion Machining, and we can supply it in 5 days. Yeah. He can also call India, and they can supply it in 5 days. Right, so it's really a unique market that you need to be there with the service and the quality to be able to capture that that customer base, because it's such a small world. Such a small world now. Awesome. With global shipping.
Yep. I'm intrigued by this one here now, Sean.
Yeah.
Paul, get a look at these drill bits up here, Kurt. Look at all the drill bits that are all set up to do something here. Sean, give us
Is it that simple, their drill bit, Sean?
It is that simple.
Yeah.
Some of those are drill bits. Some of those are end mills. Some are taps. Some are facing tools. But so this is a mill, and what we were looking at before was a lathe. So on the lathe, the tool stays stationary, and the part rotates.
Right.
On the mill, the part stays stationary, and the mill rotates around to cut out profiles.
Right.
This is another one behind us as well, just quite a bit smaller. But these,
See, you could not, here's an example here,
yep.
Paul. You can explain it better than me, Sean, but I'll give you my highly educated comment on that. If this thing was spinning around and around and around, you can't cut these in here. You've
correct.
Got to have this stationary so it can cut inside of here. So there's the difference between a lathe and a mill.
Correct. So the lathe turns the outside, the inside. This one's not finished. Let me grab one that looks a little nicer.
Yeah.
So the lathe turns all the outside in the round. It turns parts round, right? So we can do the round inside, the drilling, the threading, the OD profile. The mill then grabs it stationary, and it mills the flats in it, cuts in the window with the ball nose, can taper out, put in spot faces for set screws, and then shear pins. So when these thread onto a rod, they put a shear pin through and hold it into place, right?
Right on.
So just different applications for the different machines.
You threw this one back here. You said, let me grab a better one. These ones are ready. Those ones are correct.
Yeah, these are still going through for more process. So they're a little bit more in the raw state.
Right.
They're where that one was completely finished. So this is out of the lathe, finished in the lathe, but there's no milling work done. So it'll go in and get the mill work. It'll turn out like that.
Okay.
Yep. Awesome. Yeah, and then... So that kind of highlights our smallest mill, which is the Haas Super Mini, and then our largest mill. So we have two of these, which is the Haas VF6. You need to see the different size table. And
by the window and the working of the lathe.
Yeah. And then of course, we drop down to a VF5, VF4, VF3. And down in our Brooks facility, we actually have a pretty unique machine there as well. It's a horizontal milling machine with a dual pallet changer. So you can load the pallets up outside the machine, get everything ready, hit go, and it'll run 24 hours a day. Just when the part's done, table comes out, it rotates, puts the new fresh pallet in, and it keeps going.
Awesome.
Yeah, they're pretty slick. So like on the pallet here, gas lubricators, more gas lubricators going up in the block on the other mill.
Can you tell us where those are headed?
Yeah, absolutely. These are for a strong customer of ours, Definitive Optimization, and they supply gas lubricator equipment all over the world. Where they go, I couldn't tell you. I know I send them to Red Deer, to their warehouse. They assemble and ship it from there.
So, Sean, you can see that these are a higher-end, high-pressure, more sophisticated, more bulky tool. Tell us a little bit about your program as we go through here. What do you guys... Give us some letters of what you guys are from a certified machine shop here. API, your CORs, your different qualifications as a machine shop here.
Absolutely. So we're ISO certified, have been since 2015. We have our core certification, which is our health and safety certification, right? Make sure safety is top-notch. Right. Make sure the guys are always looked after. Then we're API compliant.
Right.
So we're well into our API certification process, but as you know, it's long, it's cumbersome, it's heavy. Our audit is actually booked for next month.
Sean, elaborate on the API, because that's a big name in the oil industry for our audience of saying what does API really get you is stuff that you can be doing special equipment and special manufacturing on. Oil companies won't sign off on a piece of equipment unless they know it's API, which is the highest level where you guys are already headed to.
Standard, So anybody that buys API spec'd equipment from an API source machine shop, they're getting the highest standard.
Kind of like guaranteed. a Rolex of machining.
Yes. Yeah, guaranteed, right? So if you're rolling through the list and you want to buy just something to get you by, right? You go to a different, I don't know what a good example would be.
Just
here.
A different spec of machine shop that doesn't like need to do that.
Pinto. Yeah, you're looking at a Pinto versus
Cadillac.
A Ferrari, right?
Ferrari,
exactly. So you know what you're getting is what you pay for. That's hard stop. That's,
so
that's
when you guys are doing sub-sea or high-end gas pressure stuff and that, your API specification or compliant has to be on point because there's just too much risk and too much stuff going on in that particular wellhead or component or whatever to mess with
and
that.
Lives are on the line at that point as well, right? So you really got to put the utmost care into it to make sure it's good. This is all above ground pressure equipment as well, right?
Yeah.
So these are all 10K rated. If there's any corners cut, something happens above ground, it's a big blowout. It's a big problem.
10,000, 10K rated. For our audience, is 10,000 PSI, which is like absolutely astronomical pressure in the oil industry. So that's 10,000 PSI.
Okay, let me ask you this question, Sean. How long does this take? How long does it take to make one?
To make one, well, start to finish, we're about 4 hours of solid machining. Yeah, that's so. I have some samples in the warehouse of what these start at, so you'll be able to see just raw solid material. And then when they're done, these still aren't done yet either. There's another process that needs to happen to them. But 4 hours start to finish. Yep. These blocks here, this is a part of the same product, but they're 7 hours start to finish.
Okay, this looks a lot more complicated.
Yep. Just different process. So this is solely done in the mill. These are solely done in the combination of the lathe and the mill. It's just different process, different speeds, different feeds.
Where do you want to go next, Sean?
Yeah, we'll kind of make our way out. I'll highlight this machine here real quick. This is a 14 3/4 spindle bore machine, 10.5 feet center to center.
That tells you what you can do for size of equipment. So, Sean, let's talk about that for 2 seconds. Mm. Here at Orion Machining, what's the biggest outside diameter piece of equipment you think you could manufacture in-house?
42-inch on the outside diameter we can spin inside our machine.
Okay. Dude, that's huge.
10.5 feet long. Yeah.
So now how long can you go in the shop, would you say, for a piece of equipment?
So now that changes. So now we drop down to 14 3/4 on the diameter. And we can go 60 feet long.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So you're doing some big stuff in here.
Yeah, I've never done that bit.
No, but nope, still, you have the capability.
Yeah, we have the potential that long. I've definitely done the diameter. The length is...
This looks like your monster machine in the shop here, this here one.
100%. Right? This is our marquee. And then we have a second robot in the corner here that's also getting set up right now. That one's a little simpler. My five-year-old son, he named that one Bumblebee.
Bumblebee. Yeah. I was going to say George, but yeah. I don't know why.
No, reminded him of Transformers.
Bumblebee. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Come on this way.
Look at that. Get a load of this here, Paul. Just take a look at the size of the chuck, which is where all of the stuff is entered into. That's just massive.
This actually, ironically, is a chuck mounted on a chuck because the original chuck is too large for this equipment that we're running. So we have to put a smaller chuck in it in order to utilize it.
So that's where how much chuck could a machine chuck if a machine chuck.
Exactly.
Did you get that, Kurt?
I did. I'm wondering.
That thing is the biggest in my time of looking at stuff. This is the biggest chuck I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Do you manufacture any of your own tools?
Our own product. Nothing that's proprietary, so we make shear studs for the industry that are certified, but just ABC tools.
We call it generic. There's a lot of machine shop make generic tools, which is basically a tool that is now outside of the patent area where it's an everyday commodity that everybody can specialize in, and it's just a matter of who you want to deal with on that particular product, right? Yeah. So this chuck here, you guys, technically is bigger than Chuck Norris. That's my patchwork joke of the day.
this was the original Orion Machining shop right here. This is where we started. And then in September, just due to growth and demand, we had to take on the rest of the building.
Oh,
so we keep going.
Don't you hate that, Sean, when you got to expand into a larger area?
Yeah, it's, well, the bank doesn't like it.
I can hear you again, Kurt. How are you? Come on, Paul. You coming?
I have to adjust things.
Yeah, so then here we are in the warehouse and staging and QC facility. So we've got different stages of product, right? That's the raw material where it comes in. It's raw state, right? So from there, it goes into a machine and it gets created into a part. Those obviously are not coming from the same piece, but...
Sean, you got a couple pieces here that you can elaborate on a little bit to showing people. Like, I've been around machining so much, but most of the time, you're going to... Here's two examples here, Paul. Come on in here a little closer on what he's talking about. It's either going to probably either come in a big, thick tube, or it's going to come in a chunk. Yep. And then you're going to start cutting it from there. So some stuff may not need to be hollowed out, so it may come in a thicker steel. And then stuff that's already hollowed out that you got to machine the outside. Well, why are you paying for this part? You don't. So that's why you order it as best you can. And that's where Sean gets really, really good, and his team, really, really good at ordering exactly what they need, which sometimes may not always be the case. And here's an example of that. For us, we may need a 7-inch piece of equipment from Titus. And nobody around has it. Sean may have to go to, or a machine shop may have to go to a 7.5 or 7.75 or 8-inch piece and actually cut that piece down to get it to where we need to for size. Because just depending on, and you know, let's talk about that for 2 seconds, Sean. The challenges of steel in the last couple of years. Oh, let's just talk about that for a second. That has got to be one of your could do a whole podcast on that.
So it's actually stabilized lately. It's looking a lot better now, where prices and availability have really stabilized. They haven't come down. They skyrocketed. And it hit the point where, man, if you ordered something from us or put a quote in, I could only guarantee that quote 2 hours because there was no material available. Yeah. So let's call it a tag bar. Every single PCP company in the world uses 3 3/4 by 3 for tag bars, right? And they're all over the oil field. You just couldn't buy it. Yeah. The mills were out. They were backlogged. They couldn't make them anymore. The wholesalers did not have any. So people would call and be like, hey, do you have this material? At that point, there was a handful of people that seen it coming, and they pre-bought, right?
Yeah.
So it's just a challenge all in itself where the work was there. You could make infinite amounts of it. You just couldn't get the raw product to do it.
There's a perfect example of how stuff had started to go up, Kurt, and for our listeners. So what happens is the more it's in demand, of course, the higher the price. And we had never seen in our history of 25 years at Titus, the prices go from here to here in the fastest acceleration in oil history. And the second part of that is that he for our audience, he said 2 hours. We were getting most of the time, a lot of times was that quote's going to be good for 24 hours, and then next day it's gone.
Yep.
And before, Sean could hold prices for months or years at a time, Kurt.
They never changed.
Is this just post-COVID?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
immediately
after?
Yes, this is a fallout from COVID.
Yeah.
100%.
Just to be clear.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
All of this stuff that they're trying to shut down for our listening audience, all of this stuff they're trying to shut down from all the fossil fuels, and you start suppressing that, what's the first thing that happens when you start shutting all that down? Manufacturing is done. They're trying to shut down. The mills are down. All of this stuff is down. And then everybody goes, well, we're going to go and do this and this and this to save the planet. And all they've done is suppress the planet, that now all we're doing is backtracking again, and inflation has gone up here. So for our audience, keep in mind, every time we think that people are doing the right thing on some of that stuff by suppressing what we do, they're actually harming us more, and it's going to take us a long time to try to come back from that in the meantime. And to get those prices back down to where they should be stabilizing out as producers, we shouldn't have had to face those prices, but it's because of the COVID and because of people wanting to bring that fossil fuel suppression down. That's what it's been.
Does that keep you up at night, Sean, what he's saying? Does it bother you, or are you comfortable enough that you know where the industry is?
No, it keeps you up at night because you don't know what comes tomorrow. Tomorrow, Tracy could say, hey, Sean, I need 500 PSN nipples. Awesome, but what do I do when I can't supply that?
Right.
And then here comes the other challenge where I said, hey, India's only a phone call away. Well, right. I can't get the material because we need to get it ethically sourced. And everything that we do comes from non-conflict areas, and it's all non-conflict materials. Other countries don't have those same restrictions.
Right? Well, and let's go one step further. So Sean used to say, hey, Trace, he was talking about 5-day turnarounds, and that's natural. And a lot of times, most times when machine shops were really in perfect harmony, a couple of weeks you could pretty well get most of the stuff you needed. Now you want 500 widgets, and those 500 widgets you want to get. So now you got to hope and pray that the pricing is comfortable for your end user. And then Sean's got to still find the stuff and get it to you on time. So we started seeing two-week, three-week deliveries, and saying this respectfully in the industry, they might go to 4 to 8 week deliveries now because of supply and demand on some of that stuff. Well,
let me ask you, Sean, like, obviously, when you're competing, you're a global company, and you're competing against India, you're competing against other countries. What has our federal government done to help you?
Nothing. So we're succeeding.
I'm not trying to be funny.
I know you are.
We're succeeding in spite of our government. In spite of them. Not from any help.
We've done enough shows, Kurt. You and I have podcast shows now for Patchwork. Yeah. That we're really a resilient bunch, especially in Lloydminster, and let's just say in all of Canada. We're gonna have to beat the drum to our own tune. And just know that that's what we got to do to keep doing this in the industry.
Well, Sean, is the fact that that your product is non-conflict, does that help you sell it on the global stage?
Not so much in the global stage currently, but North American, yes. There's a lot of companies now who will not buy materials from certain countries. They will not. They will not buy conflict materials. And it's all part of the new ESG initiative that's going on, right?
Yeah.
And we're deep into the ESG initiative as well, and try to do everything that we can to be environmentally conscious, right, socially conscious on what we're doing. All the while, we still need to keep our customers happy, keep our employees paid comfortably so that they can have mortgages and they can buy groceries.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So in order to keep your employees at a healthy cost of living, we need to sell a product at a certain price, right? Otherwise, everything we're doing is for nothing.
And keep in mind that, when you see something that says made in Canada, the world knows, Kurt, the world honestly knows that made in Canada is a high standard of something being made. It's going to be at a high quality. So Sean's machine shop included in that. The reason why we do so much business internationally as well as Sean, because it's from Canada. And there's just a reputation on the line with Canadians creating good product that goes outside of their country to other parts of the world. That does help us, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So you said, Sean, you have 49 employees.
Is that you're comfortable with that? Are you looking for more employees? Have you struggled?
We're actually hiring. Yeah, so we're looking for machinists, we're looking for welders, and we're looking for more quality assurance guys. Yeah, it's tough to get skilled trades in Lloyd particularly. In the larger facilities, you can usually come up with guys. There's more spots, but even 4 years ago, if you told me, hey, Sean, you're going to have 49 guys, I'd go, how, where are these guys coming from?
Yeah. Right?
We've been able to draw, and we've been able to get them, but it's tough. It's a challenge.
Sean, let's talk about this for two more seconds here about just the machining and that. Have you, from the job side we were just talking about, how many people would you say you have outside of Canada that are working for you now? Like, we have some ladies that work for us from the Philippines. They're just great people. Have you got some from other countries? How many other people would you have to keep your staff in here, would you say?
So are you asking, do I have people currently working in other countries or just other
countries?
No,
other countries working in nationalities working here. Have you taken advantage of some of the programs to get other people to come in, or have
not,
you had to?
Not yet. Okay. Right? We are going to start working with some programs to get skilled trades here. But we have down in our Brooks facility, we have a real strong Filipino community at that facility. At this facility, we have we got Efren here, Filipino. We've got manual machinist from Scotland.
Oh wow!
Yeah, we've got mill operator from India. Man, I bet you I'm missing somebody there.
But
too.
You're looking in the entire world job pool, not just a Canadian pool. So that's good to know.
Yeah, have to. It's tough too though to bring people in.
Yeah.
And again, it's our government's not helping us. They make it pretty tricky to bring skilled laborers.
Yeah.
It's a long, grueling, expensive process. But here we are, right? Now, the warehouse was kind of born out of necessity, because all of this that you see here and in our next shop that's down further, we had it in the old facility that we just walked through, right? So we were blowing at the seams really. And some of the stuff was actually outside, and it just wasn't safe anymore. So we had to bring it in. And also, it brought our quality up at the same time, because now everything's documented. When it comes in, wrapped, sealed, ready to go.
So you can imagine, Paul, as you're bringing the camera in, like just in our audience, we just think that pieces of material sitting outside. Well, why are people cutting catalytic converters off their cars and stuff? Because there's value in it. Mm-hmm. All the stuff you guys are bringing in here on pallets and that, somebody will buy that stuff because it's valuable. Pieces of steel is like, you know, it's almost like gold now, some of the stuff you guys are bringing in.
Yeah, it is pricier than gold on some of it. We got some exotic
materials. Sean, our caustic tanks, is this phosphating? What are you doing in here in these tanks?
This is phosphating tanks here. So we have.
Tell us what phosphating process is for our audience, Sean.
Absolutely. So here's a raw steel. It comes in, machined, shiny. If we put this outside, it's just going to rust right away. Like overnight, this will be just a rusty mess. So what we do is we dip it in a cleaner, removes all the oils and impurities off the steel. Then we dip it in a caustic acid.
Would that also take off some of your burring and very, very microscopic burring and stuff as well?
Caustic. Yeah, absolutely. It
look
does.
Get a close up of this, Paul. Look at how this thread is. Mm. That is like super, super heavy duty cut thread on there.
Yeah. So these are ratchet threads. They have a history of galling up, right? So when they're functioned, they'll actually roll over and they'll break and burrs will get there. With the caustic dip and then the oil bath afterwards, it's heated to 160 degrees. So it actually opens the pores in the metal. The acid burns off the sharp little burrs. The pores open up. You dip it in the oil, and that becomes self-lubricating, and there's a little bit of rust.
Paul, come have a shot of this here, and you can also see what the tone or the color context changes over to, from a shiny metallic to a bit of a more of a dark gray after the phosphating's done. So just a guy that's been around this for a while, anybody could come in and say, okay, this is freshly machined. And this stuff has probably been phosphated just based on the color. So that's the finished product that you probably want to end up. We do get a lot of our stuff phosphated just for that reason. It also helps with the threading of the material after when you wanted to put two pieces together.
Yeah, you'll stop it from galling, right? The little sharp burrs that bite in. It's amazing what the smallest little imperfection on a thread will do. It'll lock a piece up and they become one. Yeah. With the phosphating and the oil bath, it just lubricates it so it doesn't happen. But this has been a new addition that we've just recently put in. So it was just another third-party service that we were paying somebody else to do.
Yeah, most machine shops weren't. Yep. A lot of machine shops aren't set up for phosphating, and yet there's a market for it. Yep. And it's an extra. To be honest with you, it's really a better part of your service knowing
Absolutely.
You can phosphate that. You don't have to send it out somewhere, and Tony can come pick it up, or Tracy K can come pick it up, and know that it's going from shiny to phosphated in the same building and pick it up.
Yeah, and it's a bit of a buzzword, but we'll call it vertical integration, right?
Yeah,
you spend enough money doing a third-party service. Well, heck, why aren't we doing that ourselves?
Yeah. So there, that's a perfect line.
Bring more inside. And then just the generic ABC tools that are on the shelf that somebody calls and goes, hey, Sean, do you have a sawtooth collar? Do you have EUE couplings or tag bars, right? That's,
come on over here, Paul.
That's exactly what this rack is.
So here's just what Sean was referring to as a sawtooth collar. So this can be used on a lot of different downhole tools, depending on what they need to do with it. But basically, this is what we call we take an ordinary jointed tubing collar from that would go in a tubing string, and they cut these edges out of it to get aggressive down the well. A lot of times to chew up sand or debris in the well. That's just a perfect example right there of what they call a sawtooth collar. Yeah.
So let me ask you, Sean. So when it comes to the tool, the equipment that's here, the tools that we see here that you've manufactured that go out all the time, is the majority of this local, or would you ship it out worldwide?
Oh,
too?
We ship this stuff worldwide as well. Yeah. So you had actually asked me earlier, do I have my own product? Do I have my own patent licensed product? No. We do have our own what we call a WR tool. So it's a 7-inch, 8-5, and 9-5 retrievable wireline tool, right? So it's a plug that goes down, plugs off the well, they can service above it, service below, isolate areas, and then go back in and remove it. That is what most of these parts are interchangeable parts for that.
Okay.
Then the retrievable tools down below, right?
So here's an example, too, of a sawtooth. Mm-hmm. Thousands of these made every year, and a lot of machine shops have them. So if you want to come and get a sawtooth from Orion Machining, you can, because they have that generic tool on the shelf.
Yeah, it's expensive to hold stock, as everybody knows, but you need to hold something to keep a little bit to keep everybody happy, right?
So how often does that happen, where somebody calls you up and says, hey, I need this?
Daily.
Often enough, I guess.
Daily.
To keep the product on the shelf.
Yeah, absolutely. And some move faster than others, but we'll get those phone calls absolutely daily.
Sean, another part of your service then, do you do tool assembly here as well?
We don't, no.
So you're taking these, and then you're supplying the parts, and then the tool company puts them together?
Correct, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so our experience with tool assembly on the WR, for example, is a lot of guys will ship them pre-assembled. The tool company just tears them apart and checks them themselves, because they want to make sure the O-rings aren't split, that the O-rings are actually put in, that everything's clean, and they put
it
back in.
You know what, that's a good comment, because if a lot of times they're double-checking it, and now that's just another thing that you have to be concerned about. You're a machinist. You're not a tool hand. You're not a guy that's putting the stuff together, and then that's going into a well that they're going to try to isolate or do something with, and that plug's not where it's working the way it is. Then at least they know that they've put it together. And that's where the twofold liability comes in. It's one thing to machine it, and then it's another thing to put it together.
Absolutely.
So let me ask you this. Does a lot more stuff break in the winter? You get a lot more of this?
You know what? It's not that things break in the winter. It's just the oil field's busier in the winter. So
really?
Yeah. So when it's cold out, we get phone calls, because the rig might be shut down for a day, and they know something's coming up, and it's overnight. So we'll get phone calls 2 a.m. Hey, rig's down for 4 hours. I need this part that takes 10 hours.
On the road in half an hour.
And keep in mind, too, when he says that about wintertime, there's a lot of projects, Kurt, that our audience may not know. Your Muskeg facilities, your higher up north facilities and that, which you can't reach remotely during the summertime because of Muskeg and things like that. So what those wells do is they're basically isolated, and they go and operate on their own. A lot of times, believe it or not, helicopter surveillance, whatever, is taking care of those. You might have to land them in that way. And all that workovers and stuff is done on those wells during the wintertime where they have access to them, and then they come out. So a lot of times those wells in the wintertime add to the workload, because come spring or summer, they don't go back into those again. So that could be a half or a third of somebody's winter work, or even more, knowing that that stuff is in, we call it muskeg season, right? You were talking about spring breakup, and same situation, except that's where a lot of stuff doesn't get done, but that's where Sean gets really busy, because from rigs to forecasting of what needs to get ready, that month of April might be their whole month to prepare all their tools for what's going to happen for the rest of the year.
Yeah, so that it's all hands on deck and you go hard, because they have hard dates too, right? If we don't have the product ready for the end user to assemble, to go into the ground with the rig, we'll never see them again.
Right.
There's hard deadlines on that stuff. And then this is where we roll through to our manufacturing and manual machining.
Okay.
Yeah. This is kind of the end here, the three manual machines going back there. We've got manual machinists working. So the manual shop does not run 24 hours a day. It is on call 24 hours a day. But they're just day shift. And then we go to the manufacturing side. It must be coffee break or something right now.
Sean, I see, you know, for our, here's a really good picture. For our viewing audience, this is what's called a progressive cavity pump rotor. Are you guys, what are you doing with rotors here, if I may ask, Sean?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, we do tons of work. So we paddle the rotors, which are the flats that are on right here.
And how about, get a close up here, Paul.
So when these are
paddling, and that's where they take the round edge and they flatten it.
Yep. It just agitates the sand and the oil down below so they can pull it up. Now this right here is what actually pulls the oil out of the ground. This right here. So these are the rotors that go into the stators. So we time and phase rotors for multiple different companies. We lengthen them, we change out the heads on them if they got to be right hand, left hand, transfer pump conversions.
Are you welding rotors here too?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yep. So that's an art in itself.
Oh yeah. Well, we actually have three B pressure welders on this location that are fully certified, and we have engineered weld spec.
See, there's another note. You know, we think it's all just about machining. I don't know too many machine shops of this size that don't have some really good welders, because you're welding all the time on stuff.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know it's this is a big part of our value added to our customers, stators and rotors. We've developed a good reputation for having good quality coming out of here.
Awesome.
So this product, like if you had a product, Sean, that you would say, this is Orion Machining.
Yep.
You know, this is our bread and butter sort of thing. Is this it?
No. Oh, no. Okay. No, this is not. This is just a small, I have three employees of the 49 that work on this side.
Oh, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We, our bread and butter, like this is Orion, is downhole manufacturing, right? So completion side really is where we thrive and the production side. It's all about the relationships you make. And the quality product that you put out. If I say I'm going to do it, we do it.
Well, and just to give you an example, so other machine shops might specialize in oil field tank product. Other machine shops might specialize in flow lines. Other machine shops that are huge, other machine shops out there might just be the equipment around the wellhead. And then you got machine shops like Orion, who specialize in the downhole tool side of things, which is really popular as well. Anything that's going below the ground, these guys are probably making lots of it.
Yeah.
Okay, now the other thing is, 2 days ago the budget comes out, and they start talking about green, green, green. You know, that's still mining. They're still mining, you know, and they're going to increase mining, particularly in Alberta, it sounds like, for lithium. So do you start thinking to yourself,
do I have to start looking for ways to go greener, or you're just really comfortable with oil and oil is what you
No, we're always trying to get different work, right? So when I said all paths lead back to oil, so we'll go hunting for this lithium mine and try to get into farming, and it always seems that the farmer goes, man, I really appreciate that, thanks for getting the work done, because we work for them,
right?
But I got a brother who's in XYZ company, let's put you in contact with them because you treated me so well. And lo and behold, it's an oil company. Yeah. Always, right? Everything seems to lead right back there. We have a full-time salesman in NISQ, and there's lots of different markets in NISQ that's not just oil. All roads lead to oil. Yeah. It's Alberta. Welcome to Alberta.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good that way.
That's a good question, though, is where do you find your customers? How do your customers find you?
Well, you Google us at OrionMDI.ca, and our website is there.
That's MDI really is?
Machining Design Incorporated.
Okay, yep. There you go, MDI.
Yep. Yeah, it was real long to say it all at once, so it's shortened it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a lot of where our customers come from is we have a lot of repeat, real good strategic partners, really, is what they are, right? So they come back to us, we do good work for them, they make money off our products, we make money off of them, everyone's happy. But then also daily, we're knocking down doors. We have full-time sales. He's out every day hammering doors. Myself, every day, locally, hammering doors. Yep. Yeah, that's just keeping in the forefront of people's mind.
Are we forgetting anything, Sean?
I don't think so, guys. Like, we really kind of touched it all.
Let's go to your office, Sean.
I sure appreciate it.
Let's go to your office. Come on.
Try that salmon.
Yeah. No, we're going to. We just want to see where the boardroom is. Yeah. You got a boardroom, Sean?
I do.
Let's go. I know this is your heart and soul, but you know, yep, you're still making decisions in other spots, right?
Oh, so yeah, it's probably, you know, you guys spend too much time on the floor.
Yep.
Right. It's hard to separate. Yep. This is where I cut my teeth and where we got to where we're at. So
I'm very passionate about it, Sean. Come out this way, Paul. We'll take the shortcut to his office and see if he's got any cans of salmon around here. What was a square foot facility here again, Sean?
So this facility is 30,000 square feet, and then we have another 15 down in Brooks.
30,000 square feet, Paul.
Are you constantly having to look for it, though?
Oh, every day.
It's a full-time job.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Full-time job of a size of shop this big. If it's not Sean, it'll be probably one or two other guys.
We have
full-time source steel, 20, or at least all day long.
We have two ladies in the front. That's what they do.
So do you ever get frustrated with the supplier?
You know what? No, because there's no point. They have it or they don't. Right?
They have it or they don't, yeah, and you're at their mercy.
Yeah, yeah. There's no point in getting frustrated about it. That doesn't get a guy anywhere.
Hi guys.
Yeah, we'll roll on upstairs to the.
We
lost them. Yeah, Tracy was good.
Sorry, board. Paul, I shut the door on you there.
This camera does not change. I have to change it. Okay.
All right, here we go. We're going upstairs to where the big, massive decisions are made. Millions of dollars of decisions are made every day. Oh, I thought we were going to the washroom. Oh, I'm sorry, it's down here. Sorry, Sean. I thought all the decisions were made in there. Sorry about that.
To the end, yep. Actually, if you want to get a shot of Jersey here, proudly supporting local kid, Yari Kekkonen, right? Yeah, goalie nice, with the Kelowna Rockets. Yep.
Nice, Kekkonen.
Yep. I asked his dad to pick that up for me, so he signed it.
Do you know who his dad is?
Chris Kekkonen, yep.
Of course, I know Chris.
Know him very well.
Is this where you sit, Sean?
This is my office. You wanted to see where it was.
All right. Here we are. Look, he's even got it up on here, too.
Yep.
In his office here.
Yeah, we have our mission.
How much time do you actually spend here, though?
In the office?
Yeah.
Oh, way too much. Way too much, yeah. Yeah, I don't see my family too often Monday to Friday.
Get a shot of his computers here. He's got a few up there that's pretty good size. Like, look at the size of his screen. I have a big screen TV in my office as well.
And you have to have that as just something playing in the background sometimes, because I've got mine set up on different YouTube or whatever, but it's just sometimes you just got to be preoccupied to doing something, right?
Yeah, you know what? I'll be honest, a lot of it is up here. You're in a big space. Your voice echoes. So you just need a little bit of background noise to drain your conversation.
My office is upstairs in our building, and I'm the furthest guy away from everything. So for that same reason. Kurt, you got anything else?
No, just want to thank you, Sean. Thank you so much for having us out.
Thank you, Sean.
I'm absolutely elated that you made it. I'm proud of what we have here, and anytime I get an opportunity to show it off, I jump on it.
It's great. This is one of the first times we've actually, I think it's just going to be the start of doing some more mobile stuff. I mean, the sky's the limit to how many guys we can talk to in patchwork, and we always are asking everybody to come in to see us, and guess what? Here's the new slogan for patchwork. We're going to come out and see you.
We'll be back again next month, and hopefully by then, oil prices are way up again.
Yep, and we'll have some really cool announcements at the next Patchwork Show.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to Sean and his team at Orion Machine.